Welcome to Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Death, sickness, unemployment, sadness, depression, divorce. Do you feel like you're alone in any of this? Well, you're not. Together we can find a way out. Get ready for Lost and Starting Over, a show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, thanks for joining me today. This is Linda Ballesteros and I am your host for Loss and Starting Over. Last week you heard from Pastor Lydia talking about how she overcame, I don't even want to say overcame, how she is now healing from the loss of her daughter and of her husband as well, just 1 year apart. And as I mentioned last week, there are all types of losses. You don't have to lose a loved one to death to feel that loss. One of the losses that we feel very emotionally about is the loss of our financial stability. And this could come from a bad investment. Maybe you lost your 401k during, was it 2008, when the market took a nosedive. There are a lot of different reasons that someone may lose a financial stability that they think they may have. And maybe that stability is actually attached to dreams. So when that's lost, then you really feel the emotion of the loss of that, because it was part of your dreams. Just like when you lose a loved one, your future is shows them in it. Like I mentioned last week, your vision board, so to speak, didn't show that loss. And sometimes it's blindsided. Sometimes we're blindsided by that. And sometimes we've been given maybe some clues that may happen, and we didn't heed those messages. So, you know, we are responsible sometimes in that. But today's guest is Chris Miles. And Chris is the founder of Money Ripples. He's a leading authority in quickly creating wealth by increasing monthly income. Don't you want to know how to do that? Chris is an expert on finding and fixing those money leaks. And, you know, I think so many times those money leaks happen our entire life and we don't even know it. So help me to welcome Chris Miles to the show. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Linda. It's great to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Same here. And, you know, Chris, I know that you know that the topic of the show is loss and starting over. And every loss, every grief, no matter what it's attached to, we go through that same grieving process. I'm just so interested to find out how people start over. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you relate to the loss?
You bet. So about 15 years ago, I made a decision. I was going to college. My whole goal was to go into business consulting. But I figured if I was going to do that, if I was going to consult business owners how to do stuff with their business, I should probably have real-life business experience, not just book smarts. Mm-hmm. And so I dropped out of college, and the first business that came my way was becoming a financial advisor. And I did that, and actually, you know, did that for 4 years, loved it, stayed, dropped out of school, never went back to finish my degree. And went that route because, you know, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to, you know, have control of my own time, my money, you know, basic control of everything, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want somebody to determine what my life would look like. And so it was really living that American dream, you know? And I did that, and, you know, did that for several years. Actually quit being a financial advisor when I realized I couldn't stay in integrity and teach that kind of stuff anymore. I started doing the opposite of what I taught as a financial advisor. I started, you know, really understanding about cash flow and the importance of that. And that's where I was actually able to retire in 2006.
Wow.
So I was 28 years old. I was able to retire, which blew my mind. I was able to pretty much work 4 hours a week and basically, you know, everything else was gravy, you know. And at that point, I kind of had to ask myself what I want to be when I grow up. And even though I vowed never to go the financial advisor route again, because you know, I felt like I was a charlatan, you know, for teaching people stuff that doesn't work, you know, like typical save money, get out of debt, that kind of thing. I decided to go back and start teaching that again, show people what I did, how to get out of the rat race. And so in 2007, I came out of retirement, started to teach that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, like you mentioned, the Great Recession hit, right? And at that time, I had real estate. So it wasn't helpful that all of a sudden my real estate wasn't paying me, or now all that equity that was trapped in real estate was disappearing with the markets. Not to mention I couldn't get access to any equity I had because, you know, pretty much every bank would say, oh, sorry, you're a business owner. We don't like you anymore. And so that started happening. And then on top of that, all the people I was starting to work with at that time were real estate investors. So they were hurting. They couldn't pay me. And so it was this perfect storm where it seemed like nothing was paying me, you know. And so I went from millionaire to all of a sudden upside down millionaire, where now I was like in the hole about – I was in debt of about $1 million. And in the hole each month, I was in the hole about $16,000 a month that I was short. So, you know, if you imagine, you know, my income might have been like $5,000 or $6,000 a month, but my expenses between my business and my home was about $21,000, $22,000 a month.
Yeah.
And so I was in a world of
hurt. You came up a little short every month, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It was hard. And it, I mean, I ran out of money. I ran out of credit. I had nothing. And so when you talk about having to pretty much start over, even though I could have easily gone bankrupt. In fact, going bankrupt probably would have been way easier because at least I could just kind of hit the reset button, you know, and be able to get moving forward from there. But something told me not to do that. You know, I just had a voice in my head, you know, that even though I considered it, it just said, no, this doesn't feel right. So I said, all right, I'm going to get it back out of the situation. And I spent the next year and a half battling my way back out to the point where finally about a year and a half later, between then and about 3.5 years, I paid off over $900,000 of that debt.
Well, you know, Chris, I know that there are other stories out there, and there may be people listening right now that have a similar story. And when I talk about grief of a loss, you virtually had the loss of your financial stability, your financial freedom. How do you shift at that point and get out of the grief and begin the starting over and building again? What did you do, Chris, that snapped you?
It wasn't easy because I'll tell you, there's a lot of mornings I woke up. I mean, I felt like I was out of integrity because I was teaching people how to get out of the rat race, and here I was back in it and deep in it, right? And so there's days I woke up and I felt hopeless, like I really, and helpless, you know? So there's a few things I did, and most of it started really was mostly a head game for me. It was really just controlling my thoughts and how I saw the situation. And in fact, I even remember reading a book at that same time. There's a book by, you know, Donald Trump called Never Give Up, where he talked about how he had a battle back. He was in the hole about almost $1 billion. And he was actually able to battle back, and in 3.5 years, he was able to get back onto the billionaire list, even though he was broke at one point. And so I had to do kind of go through my own process. And so one of the things he said in his book that really helped me a ton is that he said that no matter what obstacle he ran into, and by the way, almost every big deal he ever did had like major obstacles, like headwinds from things. One of which he said, you know what, no matter what happens, always find the one positive. Always find the one positive thing. And I'll tell you, I went through a pretty bad, I would say I was definitely depressed, even though I wasn't like clinically, you know, diagnosed as that. I was definitely depressed. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem was I was starting to complain and become, I started to feel a little bit like a victim, right? Like I knew I could take responsibility for what I had, but I couldn't control everything that was going on in the world that was also affecting my financial life. There's other people and the decisions they made that affected my financial life, and that was causing ripple effect into others' lives because now I couldn't pay people and things like that, right? And so I had to kind of let go. I had to really get this place of submission, or you know, another way you could say is surrender, you know, kind of surrender to it. That's kind of just be willing to accept where I was. And so I started looking for a positive because I stopped complaining as much. It's like, you know what, even if all I can find is I'm breathing today. I would try to put my attention and focus towards that. And so that was a big thing, was just the mental game. And throughout the day, because scarcity, you know, the thoughts, the negativity want to creep in all the time. And so that was a big one. Mm-hmm. So that was number one. Number two was I had to really tell myself, I really had to believe it, that there are no accidents, that everything happens for a reason in our lives.
Right.
And even though I didn't know what it was, I knew there had to be a purpose. And the thing that I would hold on to, that hope that I would hold on to, was, okay, even if it's just to help one person that could, you know, make a massive difference in their life, that would make this worthwhile. I mean, no, I know it'll help me once I get through on the other end. And I knew that there had to be a time when things would get better. I didn't know how, and I didn't know when, but I just knew that at some point it would have to. And so I knew that there were no accidents, that there had to be something I was going to learn or something I was going to receive from this experience that could at least help, not just help me, but help somebody else. And, lo and behold, did I know that, I mean, a few years later, that something else was, you know, what I do today, like being the cash flow expert, came because of the resourcefulness I had to create in that situation. You know, as, you know, how do I create money when you have no money, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you pay off debt when you feel like you don't have anything extra every month? You know, that kind of thing. I had to learn what it was like again to be in a massive, horrible rat race. So I would hold on to that, like there are no accidents, you know, and just know that everything happens for a reason. And I would try to be more grateful for it. And the harder that the winds blew against me, the harder that things got, the more I would try to get myself excited. Because I realized, I'm like, boy, I know that with every, you know, opposition, like, you know, Napoleon Hill says in his book, Think and Grow Rich, with every adversity, there's always an equal or greater, equal or greater opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when things really sucked, that's when I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be awesome. I can't imagine how amazing it's going to be because today really sucks. And so it must be really good. Whatever it is, whatever I'm going to get out of this, it's got to be really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to hold on to that, right? So finding gratitude, you know, finding the positive, but also be able to understand that there are no accidents, that everything happens for a reason and what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ultimate healing part of the process that happened for me, the thing that where it turned around for me, was when I got to a place where I surrendered. You know, I got to a place where I said, you know what? I know what I need to do, and I know that everything has a timing and purpose, and, you know, and I'd be praying and meditating and all kinds of things, right, just to try to keep my mind at ease. And I just got to a point where I said, you know what? No matter what, I know what's true. I know what principles I need to follow to dig back out of this hole. I knew what got me to creating good money in the first place, and I can do it again. And so I kind of made a pact with myself, and even, you know, even with God on a spiritual level, I made a pact that said, hey, no matter what, even if this takes 20 years, I will stay true to this course. Like, I will keep doing what I know works, because I know, if anything, that if there was no accident here, that if anything, it's teaching me how I can do it twice. Because one thing when someone says, hey, you know, I was able to retire when I was 28 years old, and look at me, look how awesome I am, right? It's another thing to say, hey, look at me, I had to do it twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to show the true experiment. It wasn't just a, you know, lucky, fortunate event. I had to intentionally create it twice. So how could we do that again? And so so I would, you know, that was the big thing. I just said, you know what, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to stay true. And the funny thing is, once I got to that place, and this is even after my now ex-wife, but wife at the time, when she said, you know what, like, maybe I should take the kids and go move with my sister to get things worked out, or, you know, and then just constantly getting after me about when things going to change. You always say they're going to change, but when will they actually change? You know, all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, all that. I mean, even when the closest people, the people you love most to you, like, feel like they're betraying you, having to stay true and say, you know what, I know this is the path I'm supposed to be on. You know, I was even open to getting jobs, but jobs, even a paper route job, they weren't even getting back to me, which is shocking to me. You know, I couldn't even get people to get back to me on job interviews when I tried to do like at 4 a.m. so I could, you know, make ends meet a little bit more. I mean, I tried all kinds of things to try to make things work. You know, that kind of stuff, like, you know, you have to really stay true. And it's funny enough, like, we even at that point, I had an argument with my wife, and I said, you know, I remember going out the door, and right before I shut the door, I said, listen, there's going to be a day that I will say I told you so. And And I slammed the door and went out to the office. Funny thing is, 2 months later, things had drastically turned around. And I said, hey, you remember that time, that few months ago when we had that argument and I told you there would be a day when I said, I told you so? And she looked at me and said, yeah. Well, I won't say it.
That is today, though.
Yeah, exactly. Today is that day. And and so I think that's the thing is, like, you know, I mean, looking in hindsight, I mean, it was horrible. And I never something I'd want to repeat again. But I'll tell you, like, the lessons I got from it were so invaluable. And it gave me so much more compassion and empathy for other people that, you know, struggle. And whatever struggle that is, they may not be as – I mean, I'll tell you, anybody I've worked with has not been as bad as I have been in that situation. Like, nobody's been worse off than I was. And so I think it's easy for me when I – even when I talk to people, they might feel like they're not doing well. I mean, even if they're an entrepreneur where they think, oh, like, I'm not where I want to be on my goals, you know, they're still able to be – but they're still paycheck to paycheck at least, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Sometimes they're not even paycheck to paycheck. They're like starting to slowly run up a credit card just to make ends meet. I'm like, hey, that's awesome. That's way better than I had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I was $16,000 in the hole each month. You're like, what, $1,000, $2,000? You know, that's great. Mm-hmm. We can work with that, you know. So that appreciation, I mean, all that perspective that came from it is what really has made me, not just made me who I am today and allowed me to be more positive and see things from a different light, but it's allowed me to serve, I mean, literally – I mean, thousands and thousands of people because of that, you know, and right. I think that's the true blessing of that hardship.
Well, you know, Chris, something that I see is that sometimes we want it the way it was. So when you were talking about surrendering, sometimes, you know, what I've seen and I've fallen into this sometimes, you know, from time to time is that I really don't want to go forward with this new chapter. I really want to just rewind, go back to where it was and start from there and just pick up from where, but there's no going back and there's no recreating. We talk about starting over, but that starting over looks different than it did before. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. I remember, I mean, I believe, like, even when I was first going through it, I was in a little bit of denial, right?
Sure.
I mean, I was in a place where I said, you know what, there's got to be an answer. There's got to be a way through this. I'll make it work. And I had a, you know, I remember I had a $750,000 house that, you know, the payment on it was like, you know, $5,600 a month. And I thought, like, you know what, there's got to be a way. There's always a way. There's always a solution, because that kind of can-do attitude had worked for me before.
Right.
So I'm like, there's got to be a way through it. So I know there's got to be a way I can make this work. And eventually I got to a point where I was like, I have no way to make this work. You know, there's no way I can keep, you know, making these kind of payments and everything else and try to keep a family going and pay for all my business expenses and everything. And I had to really, like, knuckle down and really start to eliminate and trim all the fat, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, easily, cause it was just a week before my fourth child was born. It was April of 2009. I remember there was a knock on our door, and we'd been trying to short sell our house. We had some offers, but the bank kept refusing it. We got a knock on the door. The guy shows up. He says, hey, I just bought your house a half an hour ago at the courthouse in cash. Pretty much the title is mine. When can you get out?
Oh, my goodness, Chris.
And my wife at the time, she said, she's like, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. And I told the guy, I said, listen, we're supposed to have this baby any day now. Like, we cannot be out on the street. We weren't even preparing for this. We were still in the short sale process. We thought we'd get another extension because we had offers. They just weren't taking them, right? But they finally just let it go to foreclosure. And that was humiliating alone, you know. And so we had a rush. We had to find a place. I basically paid him $2,000 to stay in the house for 2 more weeks. And then basically just, you know, found a place. Luckily, a place lined up. We got it, regardless of what our credit was looking like right then, you know, and we're able to do it, and it worked out. And the funny thing is, that was right before things turned around. It was actually September of 2009 when things turned around, and October when I told my wife, you know, hey, you know, remember I told you so? You know, that just happened a few months later. And of course, then all of a sudden, when things got better, I thought, my goodness, if this were just 4 or 5 months ago, we wouldn't have been in this situation. We would have been fine.
Yeah,
and I think what
but
you're
you
saying, like,
even
you can't
do
go
the
back.
What if? Yeah, you can't do the what ifs too, because
no.
The story is what the story is, And,
yes.
you know, you can, what if, and that's a lot of energy just flushed down the drain because you can't change it. It's done.
Yeah, and that's why I laughed about it because I said, huh, that's funny. And that's where I realized, I'm like, you know what, there are no accidents. Like, there is a purpose behind this. And like you said, like, rather than trying to fight for trying to keep the same life that I had to, like, get to a place where I got down to not a minimalist lifestyle. It wasn't like I was living in a tiny home. I mean, it was a home still we could keep our, at that time, four kids in. But it was still getting into a place where everything was kind of in order. Everything was there, not just my money, but also my mind. And then could rebuild from there, you know. And so I'm actually grateful it worked out that way. It was perfect serendipity to make sure that it worked out the way it did.
Well, Chris, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, I would like to for you to share with our listeners a little more about how you came back and what it took to make that happen. So, folks, we're going to be right back with more from Chris Miles.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Hey folks, welcome back to Lawson Starting Over. This is Linda Ballesteros, and my guest today is Chris Miles, and he was sharing with us the story of how he had retired at 26, but it didn't end there. The economy and so many times things that are out of our control can impact our future plans. You know, it's I don't think the stock market actually checks with everybody and says, hey, what are your plans? We want to make sure that we accommodate you. That's not really the way that works. So, Chris, after you found yourself in a situation where you'd lost your home and you downsized, how do you go back? I know that you said that it is a head game, and I totally agree with you. It is a head game. And I think a large portion of that also is relying on faith, you know, your spiritual beliefs, whatever that is, to move forward knowing that you'll be protected. But how did you, what was your next step to building this again?
Yeah, the thing I had to really do is, one, I had to be honest with myself and see where I was. And so that's where I started to track my money. You know, because before, I mean, money was coming in so easily, I didn't have to, like, be, you know, someone who would, like, I'm not saying nickel and dime everything, but actually seeing what's coming in and what's going out. Like, how much am I actually making? How much am I actually spending, both in my business and my personal life? And so I had to get honest with myself and start to look at that. I had to be what I call now as being a wise steward, right? Mm-hmm. You're not being a spender. You're not blowing money. You're not being a saver where you're just hoarding money. But you're being a steward. You're paying attention to what's coming in and what's going out, and you want that flow of money to keep coming. And so I had to look at what was going on. I had to be honest with myself and see what was happening. And so that was the first thing, that part of the process I went through. And then after a lot of the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know, you know, and even like, you know, family members saying, hey, you should go back to school and get that degree. You shouldn't have dropped out. You know, what were you thinking, right? Like, you wouldn't be in this situation if you had done that. You know, and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
I had to kind of tune that out, and like I mentioned, like deal with head trash. But then I had to go back to really the financial piece, which was, all right, how do I actually get out of this situation? And the one thing that I learned that got me to retire in the first place is that money is not really a mysterious thing. It's as mysterious to a lot of people because they believe that, you know, you have to, quote, unquote, work hard, right, or have the right opportunity show up or the right people and things like that. I've realized that all that is in our control, and a bigger part of it is how do you show up to create value for people, because dollars follow the value you create for others. How do you create a win-win? How do you serve people? How do you solve problems or provide solutions for people that they say, hey, it's worth more to me to give you this money for that than anything. And so even, you know, and even my message in my business had to change. You know, for example, I was telling people how to get out of the rat race, how to get investments to pay them streams of income so then they can just retire, right? And even though that's kind of similar to what I teach today, you know, now it's morphed a little bit from that. It wasn't just pie in the sky type stuff. It changed. They became, you know, most people I was talking to were saying, hey, Chris, I would love to pay for your services, but I don't have the money to put together to do that. Mm-hmm. And I said, and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, come on, I didn't know your situation is not as bad as mine is. If I can find it, you can too. That's kind of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I just tell them, like, here, I'll find the money. I'll find a way for you to pay me. And so that's what I did. As I started, like, that's how I started. Is I started, you know, just telling people, like, here, let me help you find the money. And and that's what people wanted. They didn't even care so much at that point anymore. They didn't care about, you know, finding any great investments that'll get them to retire. They just wanted to make it paycheck to paycheck now. They wanted to know what to do, especially if jobs or, you know, people are cutting back and on whether it be on their pay or on, you know, getting fired or whatever. And so I started doing that. I started going to what people were asking for, which was, how do I have more money month to month because things are tight now? And so I would, and I remember there's one morning I woke up, and I'll tell you one of the things that I did, a ritual that I did every day that helped me. I think this will help anybody in any situation where you're struggling with loss or any kind of struggle for that matter, is I did a routine that Tony Robbins calls the Hour of Power, which is simply just this. It's basically waking up your mind, your body, and your spirit first thing in the day. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It could be a half hour. You know, it could be something very short. It could be something you do just in your normal routine, just mixing it in with the usual morning routine. But, you know, like, for example, first thing in the morning, I would wake up and I would work out and exercise. You know, I would do something to wake up my body. And that would kind of help to get my blood pumping to the point where I could get my mind clear. Because if you ever woke up in the morning, most people wake up, they roll out of bed, and the first thing they do is like, okay, I just need coffee. I need it now. Right. And until then, I'm not functioning. And that's pretty much it. And you lose like some of the most hours of your day because then you're trying to wait for the caffeine to kick in. And the next thing you know, it's pretty much lunchtime. So you go to lunch. And then by the time you come back, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, okay, I'm good to go. Let's go. Oh, it's quitting time. All right. Well, at least I got a good few hours in. That's how most people operate.
Right.
And so I would do it more of like, hey, let's get my body going. Let's get my mind going. I started studying things. That's where I started studying books. I couldn't afford to hire many mentors at that time, but I could definitely buy their book. You know, that's where I read books like Never Give Up or 3 Feet from Gold by Greg Reed and Sharon Lecter, which is an amazing book about perseverance in business and in general, like great real stories of true people, you know, things like that. And so those kind of things were trying to get me going. I'd meditate. Some days I have to meditate a lot, you know, because I would have to get my mind clear and try to get that peace so I could function and get myself to a place where I'm thinking more abundantly and positively rather than in scarcity and negativity. And that was huge. And then focusing just day after day, how do I create value for people? How do I create value? And going back really to those basic fundamentals that got me to retire in the first place, just doing it again. And eventually, as I got myself shifted and I was trying to do that day in and day out, even when it was tough. And the great thing is, at least with, you know, if you go out for a walk or a run or you do sit-ups or whatever you do, right, you do stairs, whatever it might be, plus, you know, reading books or, you know, meditating, praying, reading scriptural texts, whatever it is that you do to connect with yourself, with God, with your universe, whatever, right, doing those things to make your day start off right, that pretty much takes no money at all. You know, you could be flat broke and still do those things, and I did. I would try to serve people. I remember when it snowed, I would go and shovel other people's driveways because I'm like, you know what? I've got a body. At least I have a body. I can use that. I would shovel like a neighbor's driveway just to do a good deed. Anything to get myself feeling better. And the greatest thing is that most of those things didn't cost me a dime. Mm-hmm. And eventually, here's what happened. I not only got my state of mind up, but also like I noticed that I had a lot of these ideas come with how to help people with cash flow. I didn't know what to do with it for a while, but eventually I started to practice it with people. And as I started to see, like, hey, this is really cool, this is really valuable, I started to get excited about it. And at the same time, somebody else that was working with me, he made some of the right connections, and lo and behold, we got connected with, like, both the dental and the chiropractic markets. Like, there were certain relationships of people that were there. And so that guy said, hey, you got this cash flow thing going on. Like, why don't you help some of these guys, see what you can do? And I remember one of those chiropractic coaches, one of them we found, seriously, like over $100,000 that year.
Wow.
Wow, that was like overpaid taxes. He just didn't realize his accountant wasn't doing it well for him. We're like, wait, you overpay your taxes. You can save here, 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 and here. And all of a sudden, he was getting $100,000 back from the IRS. The guy was literally in tears. Like, he was crying on the phone. Like, he's like, I can't believe this. This is incredible. And I was like, yep, that's right. You know, and so obviously that got them excited. They would tell other people, because that was a chiropractic coach, then now telling all of his chiropractic clients, saying, hey, these guys are geniuses. Like, go talk to Chris. Go talk to these guys. They're amazing. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden our business is blowing up just from seriously a one or two people, one or two relationships that happen to show up.
Wow.
And by the way, that's,
and you know,
if I would
Chris,
add,
when you help a business get better, then it helps. It's not just that you helped it explode, but you helped that man, that business owner, to shift their mind. So they were no longer felt like they were struggling. They no longer felt like, why am I doing this, putting in so many hours? You were able to give them that little bit of a boost and gave them enough hope so that it shifted them to where they think, oh, I think I can do this. And many times that's all it takes to change things around.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's really about, I mean, it really financial, you know, loss, right? Financial problems, and be able to solve them. It really comes down to how you're able to serve and provide solutions for people. And I'll tell you, what's funny is that when I was going through my crappiest time, and I think this is true, maybe not just of financial challenges, but of all challenges, I didn't want to spread my negativity to people. I didn't want to spread my problems. I didn't want to, you know, bring people down with me. And so I isolated myself, which is the exact opposite thing that you should be doing when you're, especially if you're trying to, you know, reverse things around financially, because it does require relationships, other people that you need to serve. Because if you don't serve anybody, you don't get paid. And when I started to realize, like, wait a minute, I can't go in isolation and just suffer privately so I don't spread my scarcity, you know, poverty disease, right? That I was thinking I was carrying around with me. I was like, no, I got to be out with people. And so even before that shift happened, it did require me to step out of my comfort a little bit and still be around people and still try to be out there. I didn't have to wait for things to be perfect. Once I stopped trying to wait for that and just get out and do what I do best, which is connect with people and serve them, especially using my gifts that I have, that's when all of a sudden everything starts to align. The people show up at exactly the right time and the right place. Everything aligned just exactly the way it should have. Even if it wasn't the timeline I wanted in my head, it was exactly how it should have been.
But going back to what you just said, Chris, you know, that we shouldn't isolate ourselves. And I tell you what, folks, it is easy to isolate yourself. It's like you find a safe place. And it's almost like a fog. You've seen those fogs in the horror movies where they just kind of numb everybody. That's kind of what that does. But there's also a very delicate balance, because you don't want to get out there and always talk about your problems. You don't want to get out there and people think, oh my gosh, I do not want to hear that story again. He is such a downer. So it's a very delicate thing, don't you think, Chris, to be able to be authentic and but not overshare.
I do. I think it is important to do that. You don't want to undershare in some ways with everybody. I think you can definitely overshare with the wrong people. And I realized pretty quickly, you don't want to share with people that really aren't aren't like your inner circle of trust people, right?
Exactly.
Because when I would share things with people, I mean, for most time, I felt shameful about where I was. So I wouldn't want to share it too much, but sometimes I'd share it with the wrong people, and then that would come back around to bite me in the butt, you know?
Right.
And so you have to be careful about who you share things with. I mean, have a few trusted people that you do, you know, and, you know, kind of your own little mastermind or inner circle of people. But yet be very – yeah, but even then, like, you don't want to just unload and everything on them. Just, you know, sometimes you might just say, hey, I just need this for a few minutes. You know, trust me, the time will come where I'll have to do it with you too at some point, you know. But,
right.
You know, I just really need a friend right now, you know, and just share what I'm experiencing. Is it okay? And make sure they're in the right place rather than just vomiting no matter where they are, you know.
Right. Good point. Chris, we've got the final questions, but before we go into that, can you give everybody your contact information? If someone's listening out there right now and going, oh my gosh, he has just hit all the points of where I am right now, how would they contact you and find out more information about Chris Miles and the Money Ripples?
Yeah, a few things you can do. I mean, you can either visit my website, moneyripples.com, MoneyRipples.com. Or you can even, obviously, if you're listening to podcasts, you can even listen to my own show. I actually have my own show called The Chris Miles Money Show, where I share a lot of these things. I mean, some of this experience too, but even, you know, what I do to help people, you know, find money and be able to create that freedom where their money starts working for them. So I teach that kind of stuff on that Chris Miles Money Show, which is on iTunes and all that stuff.
Very good. So let's, these are some questions that I ask all my guests, and everyone has a different answer because we're all talking about different types of losses. So the first one is, what one thing has helped you the most when you're dealing with loss or when you're helping others with their loss?
I think it really comes back to perspective, you know, really understanding that when you try to zoom out, it's like sometimes we get so, it's like getting lost in the trees, trying to see the whole forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the forest through the trees, as they say. You know, really trying to zoom out and see a bigger picture. I think one of the biggest things, and this helps even when I'm talking to other people, is that I learned this, especially with times, because I used to say, things can never get worse than this, right? Oh. It can't get any worse than this. And every time I said that, things would get worse. Now what I've learned is the greatest thing to say, whether it's for you or somebody else, to say, hey, it can always be worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Okay. It can always be better too. It can be better, mm-hmm. of course. We know that. But it could always be worse. And so, and when you start to view a future, you start to look at the future of, hey, I'll get through this. Like, I've survived a lot of things. My sperm self survived to be the one guy that you know, seeded that egg. You know, like, mm-hmm. I made it that far. I made it through life. Like, anytime I thought someone's going to crush me, like, I've made it through. And so understanding that you've got so much evidence, you have not failed to the point where life ended because of a situation. You have always made it through something. Even if this means mm-hmm. that you do this all the way through the end of your life, you know, knowing that you can come out triumphant. You know, that things can get better. And it really does come back to how you see the situations, that it can always be worse. And yes, the future can look brighter.
You know, I heard someone describe that one time as stop looking at the world through a straw. Because,
yes.
You know, through a straw, you're just looking at, you know, just that small portion when there's so much more to see. So that's really good advice, Chris, absolutely. So the next question is, how can, if someone's listening out there and they're going, you know, I'm not going through this crisis, but I do have a friend or a family member that's going through it, how can they help their loved one who's struggling right now? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think listen. I think that's really the biggest thing, is just listen to them, and just, you know, come from a place of compassion, not from a place of judgment or saying you should do this or you should do that, but just listen, you know. And if you can relate, even better. Even if it's not the same exact experience, if you could say, you know what, you know, I don't know what you're going through, because honestly, you have your own unique set of circumstances. But boy, you know, I've been through some things, and this stinks. This sucks. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, really just. Letting them know that they can get through it, and that you're there, and that you're someone to be trusted. I think that's what's really important, is that people just want people to really believe in them a lot of times, you know, or sometimes they just need a listening ear and just be able to vent and get it out. And it doesn't always look pretty. That's the hard part. You have to really kind of sometimes put up your protective barriers, at least on your heart, just not to get blasted from all the emotion, and just realize that it's what they're dealing with. It's their thing. It's not yours. But you're willing there to comfort them and mourn with them if you have to.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that when we're going through a loss, we forget about our talents. So as a mm-hmm. friend or a family member, I think it might be helpful if you could remind that person, don't you remember you went through this and you got through it?
Yeah.
You're such a talented person, you'll figure it out again. So I think just reminding them of the talents that they have, and that they can tap into that to get through this.
Yeah, and things like, you know, imagine what this will be like when you're flying through this. I mean, won't it be amazing mm-hmm. when you can come through and say, wow, I am stronger than I thought? Because, you know, mm-hmm. you will make through this. You are stronger than you think you currently are now. And, in fact, it takes experiences like this to be strong enough to come out and appreciate the good. I mean, a lot of times, if anything, you know, these trials and troubles that we go through are to help us appreciate the good times and to say, wow, if it weren't for the bitter, how would I know the sweet? You know, like having that. Yeah, you know, we need that. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, just letting them know, like, hey, imagine what the future will look like when is a great, mm-hmm. great way to help people envision a better future.
Absolutely. Good advice there. The last question is, since loss is something that we all experience, is there anything that we can do to better equip ourselves to handle future loss? Now, you know, in your situation, we've been talking about finances, but is there something on a personal level that a person can do to prepare themselves for future loss?
Yeah, I really do. You know, like for me, like even more recent suffering that I went through is I went through a pretty nasty divorce about a year and a half ago. And I'll tell you, like in comparison to the financial troubles I went through, that one probably felt worse. You know, like I think it really was, because now I felt like I could hardly function in my business. My business almost went under, even just as recently as about a year and a half ago. Like I was starting to wonder if I should just go back and get a job again. But I think what was important to remember, though, is that, you know, life always has an ebb and flow. And so remind yourself that, hey, if you've got good times, appreciate those good times. Don't be fearful of the bad times or what might be bad, because you can weather it through so much more quickly if you understand that whatever you've gone through, personally, you know, whatever hardships you've gone through, hardships will come back again. They'll show up in different forms. You'll always come back. You can always use those same tools that you learned when you went through the last hardship to go through the next one. And so with that divorce, I mean, I got through that much more quickly. And in fact, I'm at a point in my business where, again, I'm really at a point where I'm working about 10 hours a week and living even a better lifestyle than I had before the first time. But I had to go through that little moment of test and trial and trust myself and connect and realize that I am strong and that there are greater things coming out of it. And it was, again, it was only a matter of months that I went through in comparison to like a year and a half. But it was, I think the thing that helped me is that just knowing that, hey, I know life ebbs and flows. It's going to happen. But really, like, as life goes through ups and downs, rather than being like a skateboarder who's out of fear, tries to stop, or a snowboarder in a half pipe that tries to stop and they crash and burn, they crash on the bottom, and they stay at the bottom for a while. Instead, greet it and say, you know what? I'm going down this thing. Let's ride it. Instead of hitting the brakes, let's hit the gas. Let's go faster. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did this last time with the whole divorce. And it was amazing how it was just a matter of months and bam, like things just turned around. And seriously, like I don't right now, like I'm at a really great high in my life. I'm thinking this is amazing. Like I didn't know it was this sweet. So I think that's the biggest thing, is like, don't approach it with fear. Actually approach it with excitement, knowing that whatever you go through will make you stronger and give you something to hit higher highs. Lower lows will help you have the tools and resources to hit higher highs.
That is awesome advice, Chris. Absolutely awesome advice. Would you mind giving your contact information out one more time for the folks out there?
You bet. Yeah. So my website's www.moneyripples.com. And you can also email me if you've got questions. You can just email Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at moneyripples.com.
Wonderful. Chris, thanks again for being on the show. I so appreciate you sharing, and many times our vulnerability, I guess you would say, by sharing our story, it helps someone out there. So I completely appreciate the work that you're doing. So thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Well, folks, you know, you've heard from Chris, and one of the things that came across so clearly to me is, again, it's the head game. Just like Chris said, it's the head game. And that is our biggest enemy. It's that 6 inches, as they say, between the ears. And so when you find yourself in that situation, and if you just can't get the energy to get back up, find someone that can be your best cheerleader. Find someone that can be your coach and root you on, because there are times when you're in the dumps, it's you can't find those positive thoughts in your head. And there's nothing wrong with you. That is all part of the process. Do not beat yourself up, because that's going to set you back. So just keep in mind that tomorrow's another day. It may not have been a great day today, but you know, you got another chance. Tomorrow's another day. So, you know, I always leave you with a quote here. This is a Susie Orman quote. And what is so funny, it fell right in with what Chris and I were talking about earlier. A big part of financial freedom is having your heart and mind free from worry about the what ifs of life. If you wake up every morning and go, well, I'm wringing my hands, what if this doesn't work? But you know, what if it did? So don't spend so much time in worrying about the what ifs, because those are just boogeymen in the dark. You don't even know whether they exist. Just live one day at a time, one step at a time, and then the next step will be easier. So again, folks, thanks so much for spending some time with me on Lost and Starting Over. I'm your host, Linda Ballesteros. See you next time.
This has been an episode of Lost and Starting Over, a weekly show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here to help. Come back next week for another episode of Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Thank you for listening.